where it feels like joy is a wonderful word that we get to celebrate on the third week of Advent, and I'm glad that other people have it, but I don't really know what it looks like in my life. And so we gather here today, and I just want to give voice to that I realize that we bring together that breadth of emotion, that we bring together that breadth of times of life. We have been celebrating new births and new pregnancies in this congregation, and it is a wonderful joy, an expectant joy. And we have people among us who have suffered loss, the loss of loved ones, of homes and schools, and churches, and daycares, and everything that brought structure and normalcy and goodness to life. And we come together here today to talk about what it looks like to find joy together. Now, as we jump into this, we're going to shift gears just a little bit. I happen to see that our district superintendent, Reverend Freudenthal, is here. Yeah. If I had known you were coming, I would have asked Mary Kate to preach. So, but we're glad that you can be here with us this morning. All right, I do have a question for you, and I'm being serious. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Yeah. Die Hard. I knew it was coming. I thought it was going to be Joel in the back who said Die Hard, but you beat him to it. I could see he was thinking about putting his hand up. Christmas Vacation, we heard one of those over here. White Christmas, excellent. Yeah. Home Alone, absolutely. We got four of those. The Muppet Christmas Carol. That's a weird one. Okay. I'm just kidding you. I'm just teasing you. Good. Charlie Brown Christmas. Absolutely. Absolutely. What about you guys? Any favorite? It's a Wonderful Life, right? 34th Street. Miracle on 34th Street. White Christmas. Four Christmases. That's right. Rudolph. Scrooge. The Grinch. We got Miracle on 34th Street. I think that one got the most votes. Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Elf. Absolutely. I can't believe you didn't say Elf. I thought you were going to say Elf. You were saving it. All right. All right. Go ahead, Jackson. The Christmas Story. Absolutely. Man, we are just filled with these wonderful ones. And one of the things I noticed as I started thinking through my favorite Christmas movies is they were all comedies. They were all comedies. I mean, I enjoy the Miracle on 34th Street, but I really just like kind of the funny parts, right? And so there's all these great, there's wonderful Christmas movies, but I was thinking through, and I wanted to ask you this morning, your favorite may not have been a comedy, but why do we love the comedy of the Christmas movies? What do you think? Yeah. Escape from Everyday Life. Man, don't we need that? Yeah. The holidays. It validates everyday life. Yeah, this is what everyday life is actually like. Yeah, we wish that it looked like the normal Norman Rockwell painting, right? Where everybody was sitting around and everybody had their best clothes on and everybody was just doing great and everybody got along and nobody was kicking each other under the table and nobody had texted so-and-so about so-and-so that who cares what, but they're mad about it and they're going to be mad forever, right? But when we see the absurdity of movies like Christmas Vacation, it reminds us that we're just normal too. And that we bring together all of the dynamics of family and of life and all of it as we come together. And today, on this day of joy, we are doing that. And I mean, is there any joy in the world like a new baby? Right? Have you ever seen somebody tell a grandparent that they're going to be a grandparent for the first time? Totally normal people lose their ever-loving minds. Right? Ain't that the truth? Mr. Clean Your Plate becomes, would you like a third helping of ice cream? Right? Mr. You Can't Stay Out Past 6 p.m. becomes, I don't care where you sleep and when you go to bed, I'll make you hot chocolate. Right? Yes, because there's no joy like that. There's no joy like the expectant joy. There's no joy like the waiting on a child or a grandchild or a great-grandchild or whatever it may be. It is a different kind of joy, and I want to piggyback on that joy to find the joy that we're looking for today, because we come together as the people of God with an expectant joy. Now, I have never myself actually been pregnant, right? We have four children. But and when she needed help, we were pregnant. But when I needed my feet rubbed, I wasn't the one that was pregnant, right? Okay. But there is no time like the expectant time. That was one of the pieces of advice my dad gave me. He said, enjoy this time. There is no other time in life like it. And here's what I saw in this time. I have always just been amazed at the strength and just fearlessness of pregnant women. I'm going to be honest with you. They walk around in a state where they need a little bit of help. They walk around in a state where if it lasted 1 month longer, they probably wouldn't have any more kids, right? They walk around in a state of bravery and fearlessness in the midst of the questions and concerns, especially when you're having your first and you really don't know what is going to be like and what is going to look like, but you're brave enough to run out and to meet that future and meet it fearlessly. They are joyfully terrified. Right? We come together as a church joyfully terrified. We come together as a church expectant and awaiting what this Christ child means. We come together as a church bravely. We come together as a church like a pregnant woman, creating community and connection and life everywhere that she goes. And everything that she does, whether she does it on purpose or whether it's just happening. We come together as a church. Now, if you were to go back in time in the early church in the kind of the medieval time, this Sunday and getting ready for Christmas, it was actually called the Festival of Fools. Do you know that? Yeah, no church historians. Excellent. You won't even know if what I'm saying is true. It was called the Festival of Fools. Because it was a beautiful absurdity, this day in the church, this day of joy. We're going to share in just a second about the visitation of Elizabeth and Mary when they come together as two pregnant women, the message and the messenger in the wombs. We're going to hear Mary's Magnificat, where she talks about the high being made low and the low being raised up. You see, the kingdom of God is a topsy-turvy world. It was a festival of fools. They would dress like fools and dance around. They would wear eyeglasses that were orange slices. They would turn their clothes inside out. They would have their liturgies and they would have their Eucharist, their Holy Communion. They would ride a donkey into the church, clutch your pearls, to show how the family did it, getting ready for that day. My friends, in a world that is pushing nostalgia and consumerism and celebrity, we get to be a festival of fools. We get to be a people who see the absurdity around us but realize the truth inside of us. We get to be a people who can live in the midst of chaos but be rooted and grounded and something that is true, whether we understand it or not, something that is happening, whether we do anything about it or not, but something that so desperately needs us to be a part of its existence. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Mary got up and hurried to a city in the Judean highlands. Now, I like this because I'm picturing her being pregnant and she's just kind of shuffling along the way, but this is about 80 miles, right? Did you ever ask your pregnant wife to walk 80 miles? She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now, there's a little bit of absurdity in this because Zechariah is the high priest. Elizabeth is just his wife. That would be their words, not mine, please. But he can't talk because he didn't believe at first. And so he, the one who's normally up speaking, has to be perfectly silent, and she comes in and visits with her aunt Elizabeth. Now, this is what I love about this picture. You see, for us, it's kind of Norman Rockwell-y because we're so used to it. But these are two women on the extreme ends of the spectrum. These are two women who should not be pregnant. Mary is young and unmarried. She should not be pregnant. Elizabeth is older and she has been unable to have children. And even if she could have children, she's past the time where she's supposed to have children. She's not supposed to be pregnant. And these two women meet at the door, the message and the messenger inside of them. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud voice, she, being Elizabeth, blurted out, God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry. Why do I have this honor that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Happy is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill the promises he made to her. This, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, there is some debate in the historical spectrum of why Mary is coming to Elizabeth, because some want to see Mary is so divine that she's almost not human, and so she wouldn't have been coming to Elizabeth for confirmation. She wouldn't have been coming to Elizabeth for help, because Mary would have had all that she needed in this blessing from God. Now, it's easy for us to look back in our modern context and go, she needed some help. She didn't know what Joseph was going to do. She didn't know what life was going to be like. She had never done this before. She runs to her relative who she knows will care. And within that moment, they both find confirmation. Within that moment, they both find community and connection. And we today are still living out this first gathering of the church. Can you feel it in there? These are people who have come together because of Jesus Christ to be the first place where they sing and they dance, and they are the feast of fools. And Mary's about to sing a song. I like to picture this joyful reunion moment. These two women on the ends of the age spectrum who should not be pregnant, holding their bellies and dancing and jumping and having a wonderful time. And singing. What are you laughing at? The jumping part? They would not have been jumping, I was told. They would have been gingerly bouncing. I don't know. Not passing any judgment, all right? I do understand. I'm going to move on from that. And I love this moment, too, of Elizabeth kind of confirming in Mary this hope that she has. We don't know all of what Mary's carrying, but we're about to find out in her Magnificat. And she doesn't say this song until after Elizabeth confirms in her this hope that she has, right? I think we all need this wise woman speaking into our lives, right? We need this walk of wisdom. We need this person who's more than happy to tell you what you ought to be doing when you ought to be doing it. Living in our lives. We need this person of encouragement. One of mine is Miss Betty downstairs. And she comes and, you know, she keeps our children as far as down in the nursery for all of those who are down there. And she is a wonderful just institution and angel of this church. And every week she stops by my office to tell me what a great sermon it was and to encourage me. And then I hear her, and she'll go out and try to find the podcast to listen to it, because she hadn't even listened to it yet. But she doesn't have to. Not because it's already good. I promise. It's my wife. But because Miss Betty already hopes and believes and trusts and encourages, whichever way it would have gone. Miss Janice, who works in our office and takes care of me, every month or two, I make her in charge of a whole week for me, and she just tells me what to do. And that's when everything that needs to get done gets done. Right? So y'all just send her the lists, and she'll hold them for that week. But she makes almost everything happened. And she speaks into all our lives, whether we're scheduling an event, whether we're getting our coffee, whether we're coming in the door for the first time. But we find within Miss Betty and Miss Janice and many of you, we find that expectant joy. We find that joy that lives through difficulty. We find that joy that sprouts up in the middle of hardship. We find that joy that can find a way no matter what. We find that joy that encourages even when there might not be a reason to encourage. We find that joy that takes care of you even when it was your own fault. We find that joy that looks like real joy. I love this moment we're going to share in the Magnificat. But Mary speaks of the future as if it's fact. And it's like it's only the way a mom can, right? If your dad speaks in and tells you the future like it's fact, somebody pats him on the back and says, "That's sweet, I appreciate you trying." But mom can tell you the future in a way that is fact. Mary said, "With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me." Now, you got to realize she's early on pregnant at this point. She had to run to Elizabeth to be confirmed, to encourage Elizabeth, whatever it is. But she already says, "The Lord has done great things through me." She doesn't know everything that's coming. She doesn't know what this is going to look like. She doesn't know what it looks like to raise God as a child. But the Lord has already done great things through her. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors him as God. To everyone, generationally. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to Abraham's descendants forever. Again, my friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, there are a few things I enjoy in this life more than seeing the arrogant brought low. Told you about when I was getting tailgated and passed by a guy flying on the interstate, and when that state trooper pulled off and got him, it was the most joyful moment of my life. Right? I had another one of those moments this past week. I heard in the midst of this chaos here in town, there were landlords kicking out tenants, and they were brought low. They were caught. Landlords trying to get the FEMA money for rent as well as their own. And I hope they are too. But we, the people of God, even in the midst of that chaos and harm, are a people of expectant joy. A people who believe the future is fact. A people who weigh in to the murky and the muddy and the difficult and the torn and the chaos, because it doesn't take perfection. It doesn't take pleasure to find joy, because joy is expectant. Joy is hard work too, just like hope. Joy will require all of us. Joy is an expectant mother, a child on the way. It will take all of what she has. But oh my goodness, it is so full of joy. Sleepless nights and tiresome backs and pain. And there will be heartache. We see Mary have heartache. But oh, what a joy. What an expectant joy. You see, I mentioned it earlier, the world during this time of year pushes us towards louder and larger and a more expensive December 25th, and it markets nostalgia to us as the answer of all things, right? But we are a people that know the gospel truth. We are a people who know that joy is here. We are a people that know that peace is a person. We are a people that know that God's promises, the promises of God, are real. And we get together as a festival of fools. And subversively, we laugh and we dance and we carry on and we tell the stories. And even in the midst of this world and the way that it is, we carry joy inside of us. Because we are an expectant church. We are an expectant people. Not because everything is perfect, and not because we just have that loving feeling, but because Jesus is real. The promises of God is real. And we are going to have a wonderful Christmas morning, opening presents, calling family and friends. We're going to celebrate on Christmas Eve together. But most importantly, we are going to welcome this Christ child. We are going to welcome God Almighty in vulnerable form, given to us, to care for strangely, to grow with, to be a part of, to watch and to set free and to encourage, and then to have our hopes and dreams confirmed. We are an expectant people, and my friends, joy is here. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for this day, for your son Jesus, for your church, for the people who show up when we need a little help, for the people who confirm in us the hope that we always really kind of hoped was there, but now when we see them, we know that it's true. Lord, bring into our lives the people who confirm your promises. Bring into our lives the people who celebrate your goodness. Bring into our lives the people who remind us that joy is real, and so are you. In your son's name we pray all these things. Amen.